Good afternoon, and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for March the 14th. I'd like to begin the meeting by excusing Councilmember Richens, who is not present with us this evening, but everybody else is. The first item on our agenda for the study session is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting that will be held upstairs. So, Council, please take a look at the consent agenda for tonight and see if you have any questions about this. Item three are several liquor licenses. Item four are several purchase contracts. Five are resolutions involving utility easements. Residential fees and charges for parks. Item six is introducing some zoning ordinances for public hearing at the next meeting. Item seven is taking action on some zoning cases that have unanimous planning and zoning approval. And then the only item that's currently scheduled to be off the consent agenda, thank you, is a zoning case regarding signage on the freeway, but we received a letter from the applicant. Mr. Wesley, please tell us what's going on with this case.
Yes, Mayor, Council, we did receive an email today, and I also did talk with the applicant briefly on the phone, but they are looking at some possible modifications to the sign, and some other additional considerations have come up in discussions with Councilmember Finter. So they have requested that this case be continued to your April 4th meeting so they can see if they can address some of those items.
Okay, thank you. So should we then just continue it to April 4th? Council, does that sound okay to you? And management, is that, we can just make that direction?
And Mayor and Council, I think what you mean by that is to put it back on the consent agenda for continuance to the April 4th meeting for, and Mr. Christopher can read that into the consent agenda if it's for continuance for that date specific.
That's exactly what I meant. Thank you for saying it so much better than me not saying it. So have we got that? Thank you very much. All right. So it's a pretty straightforward. Everything then will be on the consent agenda upstairs. Does that sound okay to everybody? All right. Thank you. The next item on our agenda for this meeting is to hear a presentation and discuss the 2016 state legislative update. I will invite Mr. Butler come forward and tell us all the good news that's been going on in the state capitol. Mr. Butler.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I wish it really were just good news.
I can be optimistic, can I?
Well, and I was just, Mayor, Council, I was just joking with folks in the audience about the fact that we had to wait till halfway through the session to come and kind of update on where things stand on these bills. Not that we haven't been talking this entire time, but the fact is that there's been so many bad bills that it would have just wasted all of your time, since so many of them have fallen to the wayside, thankfully, through this. But today wanted to update you all on some of those, some of the bad pieces of legislation that are still out there. A few of the good pieces of legislation, there are a few that are out there as well. And now that we're kind of at the midway point of the legislative session, it's starting to give some more clarity on what direction some of these policy discussions are moving at the state legislature. We have had over 200 pieces of legislation that city staff has reviewed, and it's really a team effort on this, so I really appreciate the city attorney's office, all of our departments. I mean, when you talk about some of the quick turnaround that the departments and Jim's staff has to go through in order to look at the 30 different changes that might happen to a bill over the course of a few days and try to assess those impacts on the city and give feedback that Miranda and I can use to go and represent the interests of the city. It really takes a tremendous effort. So I applaud city staff for all of their quick turnaround as we put pressure on them to get answers back to us very quickly. Of course, we all start out talking about the budget and what impact that the budget will have on the city. And while we still don't have clarity about the final budget decisions that will be made, that's still yet to come. The governor's budget proposal has been out, which always sets a good benchmark, at least for us to use and a guide for us to determine, are there real serious concerns coming coming forward. Good news is the governor's budget did not make any additional impacts to state shared revenue. We are exactly where we expected to be in that regard. No impacts on the state aviation fund, which in the past had been rated during some of the recessionary years. So we're glad to see level funding on that. No additional sweeps to the HERF fund. The Governor Ducey did restore, and the legislature restored additional funds last year to HERF, and that same level of funding has been continued this year. So we're still not completely where we would like to be, which is no HERF diversions, but we made some progress last year, and we've maintained that level this year. And we can get into this a little bit more, but there are additional impacts that the cities have had to pay for year two under the governor's notion that cities should be paying part of the operational cost of the Department of Revenue because of the service that they provide to us as cities and towns. And that rate has stayed consistent year two as it is in year one, but we continue to work with the governor's office on that. We're hopeful that that fee and that assessment will go away, and it was meant to be just a few year fee that would supposedly be phased out, and so we want to continue to work with them so that does become a reality in the future. Also in this session, as you're very much aware, we're able to see the passage of PSPRS reform. It was quite an effort involving both chambers and the governor's office trying to get this through. It has been passed by the legislature now. Two items that will go into law, and then a third that must be ratified by the voters, and that will be on the May 17th ballot. Now we get into the fun of some of the bills that we're having to confront. One of which, as we've discussed one-on-one and then that you've read about in the paper, is a bill put forward by Senate President Andy Biggs that provides a means by which cities who do not follow state law could be punished by having their shared revenue withheld from them and redistributed to other cities. In testimony, President Biggs has referenced some of the actions like the city of Bisbee and their plastic bag ban and some discussions that happened in the city of Tempe dealing with some policy discussions that they've had in that city. And so we're still trying to understand this. We're gravely concerned about the power that it puts into the Attorney General to make unilateral decisions about actions taken by local councils. It's needless to say, if this bill is signed into law, that it will end up in the courts. And the cities have tried to work with the president on this to address some of the concerns, but we'll have to see somewhat how this plays out over the next several weeks. But the League of Arizona Cities and Towns is definitely looking at all legal and other remedies that may have to be employed if this were to be signed into law passed by the legislature and signed into law by the governor. One bill that we have been working quite well with the governor's office on is Senate Bill 1524. It's a regulatory reform bill, and this is following the governor's efforts to try to relieve some of the regulatory burdens on certain industries. This has its origins in some of the Uber and Lyft sharing economy discussions that have been going on over the last year and a half. We are almost to a point where we're 100% comfortable with the bill. The governor's office has been great about working with us, and we're very hopeful that those last few remaining items that we'd like to see resolved get resolved before it is signed. But one of the things, so we've been working very closely with the governor's office on that one. Unfortunately, the next bill, House Bill 2517 by Representative Warren Peterson, it kind of takes a different approach. It really strips away all regulatory authority that cities have and counties have and the state has on many different areas. It's a huge concern to basically every governmental entity in the state, though it has continued to move. And so we're hopeful, though, that we'll be able to kill this bill before it makes it all the way through. But this concern's been shared by state agencies, by SRP, by not just cities and towns, but counties. So it has enough in there that has caused concern for many people because of how sweeping it is in the way that it wipes away any kind of regulatory authority that any of those government entities have. Another bill we heard a lot about at the start of the session deals with residential rental. This has unfortunately become an annual attempt to do away with the residential rental tax on multifamily residents. That would have been a $10 million impact annually on the city of Mesa had that passed. But thankfully, it didn't garner that much support at the legislature and died in its house of origin. But it's yet another issue that we're having to confront year in and year out that could have a grave financial impact on the city. Prime contracting is another issue that seems to be a perennial discussion at the legislature. A bill that would have dramatically changed the way that we go about collecting prime contracting stalled this year when the Senate could not reconcile what they would like to see done with what the House would like to see done. Senator Debbie Lesko is going to hold a stakeholders process over the interim to try to work with cities on this. We do have a pretty complicated prime contracting system in our state, and the development community and others are oftentimes talking about changes that they would like to see to that. And the League understands it's something we're going to have to confront as cities and towns to try to look at this issue. It's pretty complicated, and that's the reason why we're glad that it could be put into a study committee. And Debbie Lesko has shown a great willingness to work with cities and towns, as she was the person that guided the PSPRS reform bill through the legislature. So we have a great relationship with Senator Lesko and believe that will continue through those discussions over the summer. The House Bill 2483 is the census bill. This is the issue that got a lot of attention in the media several months ago when I believe it was eight cities decided to do a special census, mid-decade census, and kind of the back and forth that happened with concerns for those communities who chose not to do a census update because of the cost and the burden and the other dynamics that go into play. This bill, by sponsored by Representative Justin Olson at our request, will change permanently the way that shared revenue is distributed based upon annual census estimates. So we'll never be in a situation where we're experiencing these 5 and 10 year cliffs that we've seen as our population has not increased at the same level that other faster growing communities have experienced. And so seeing the trend lines, this is a good thing for us. It'll provide for a more stable budgeting process of understanding the impacts of shared revenue on an annual basis. Unfortunately, a bill that has been a huge priority over the last couple of years but continues to run into trouble is Senator Worsley's bill this year, Senate Bill 1290. This would provide some limitations on schools being able to be built under flight paths. And you would think this is a no-brainer. We think this is a no-brainer. Unfortunately, there are dynamics at the legislature and interests at the legislature that have kept this bill from moving forward. This year, Senator Worsley introduced this bill on behalf of Gateway Airport and all the other stakeholders and parties that have been concerned about some encroachment issues around the airport. And unfortunately, Senator Biggs would not assign the bill to committee, so it didn't have an opportunity to have a hearing and is unfortunately dead for the year. But we know how important this is to public safety, how important this is to our airport and economic development. And so you add the two together, and it's something we're going to have to confront next year until we can finally get some traction on this bill and get this issue solved so that we won't have another school built underneath the flight path at Gateway or at any other airport in the state. Senate Bill 1350 is the Airbnb bill. If you've read a little bit about this in the newspaper over the last few days, the governor's office and others have expressed interest in keeping up with their theme of the sharing economy, of making sure that Airbnb and VRBO and companies like that will be able to operate in Arizona and in communities throughout Arizona. It primarily does two things, one we really like and another that unfortunately infringes on local control. What we do like is that it consolidates the tax remittance for these properties, and so that would be handled by the company itself. So instead of dealing with different property owners and different complexity of filing their taxes, VRBO and Airbnb and other companies would take that responsibility of collecting and remitting those taxes to the state and ultimately to the city. So that's definitely a smoother process than what could have happened. But unfortunately, it does take away, it requires that all cities and towns allow these short-term rentals to occur in their communities. And every community has kind of addressed this in a different manner. Some have done outright bans of these under 30 days. Others have chosen different approaches. So it will have an impact on communities across the state in that manner. But it does enjoy a lot of support from the governor's office, and I definitely see this bill probably being signed into law this year. So we're trying to work with the sponsors of the bill to ensure, though, that things that we can do from nuisance calls can still apply, so that if someone is being disruptive in a neighborhood, that police are able to respond and enforce those codes and policies that council has put in place, and everything from parking to noise. And so far, the sponsors of the bill have been agreeable to that. But it would be a use that we could not restrict, but we would be able to enforce all existing nuisance ordinances as well. Photo enforcement. I think after the 12 years I've been down at the legislature representing the city, this has been an issue every single year. And fortunately, most of the really onerous bills that take, regardless of anyone's view on this, we've always maintained that this should be a council decision, and councils can make those decisions about how they deploy photo enforcement. And if they should continue to do that, or if they don't, and that there are also outlets in place, like we saw in Tucson, where if voters so chose, that they could exercise local options on doing away with photo enforcement. That this shouldn't be a state-driven effort on telling us and telling our police department how to do public safety. Fortunately, that argument has a lot of traction, and all bills, with the exception of one, have died. And what the bill that will pass at the legislature only does away with photo enforcement on state highways that aren't maintained by local jurisdictions. So if that means if you've ever gotten a ticket in Star Valley, I know no one up here has, then you may be out of luck, because that photo enforcement device and one in El Mirage, I think, are the only two that operate in the state on state highways. So if this bill is ultimately signed into law, which appears to be the case, then those would go away. But it doesn't infringe on any local community's police department and council's ability to make those decisions on behalf of the community. The reason why Miranda's not here today is because right now, Miranda and folks from our police department are down in committee working on the pawnbrokers bill. And if this sounds familiar to you, it's because this has become a perennial issue where certain interests at the state capitol have tried to do away with our ability to assess a fee. For our police department to assess a fee on pawnbrokers by which they use to maintain an electronic database so that any kind of stolen goods and stolen merchandise can hopefully quickly be run against this database and then returned to their rightful owners. It is simply nothing more than a special interest bill, frankly, by the pawnbroker, by certain pawnbrokers who would like to charge their own fees. And we see lots of fees added on to pawnbroker transactions, and the only one this bill is targeting is the public safety fee that our police departments assess. So that's very disappointing. The bill is the Speaker of the House's bill. It squeaked out of the House by one vote and just nearly died in committee just a few minutes ago. But we were able to kill this bill on the floor the last several years, and we're hopeful that that might be the result again. It's just unfortunate that that something that's so blatantly in the interest, you know, special interest bill continues to get traction year after year. You'll also hear firearms in public places is back again, and Governor Brewer had said out early on in her term that she would veto any bills about guns in public places that reached her desk, and so you saw a lull in that for the last several years. But now, with a new administration, interest at the legislature trying to move that legislation forward. So we continue to monitor that and try to work with the sponsor, Senator Kavanaugh, to make sure at least that there's some reasonable checks and balances put into place on firearms in public places. I'd be glad to entertain any other questions or any other bills that you may have heard of. I know in speaking to Councilmember Glover, there's been some interests that have been raised by our fire department, too. You may have seen the news lately about the fireworks bill that is out there again this year. It seems that's also always a perennial bill, and so we're going to try to work to mitigate the impact of that. It's unfortunate that one of the agreements when fireworks came back was that aerials would not be allowed, because the fire community and other communities in the Prescott area and other non-urban areas had said that's really the line that we want to draw in the sand, that it will allow some fireworks but not the aerials. And this bill would return aerials back into the state, and that raises a lot of concern from our fire community. So we'll be working on that bill as well. But be glad to entertain any questions or comments. Great. From council.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson, I know, has a question.
Scott, I'm starting to hear a lot of buzz right now about the payday loans being reboxed, remarketed, and coming back out. What's happening with that? What are you hearing at the legislature?
There is a group at the Free Enterprise Club that is been championing this legislation. Mayor and Councilmember Thompson, that's been championing this legislation at the legislature. It's still, I think, to be determined what kind of traction this might get. There's been, ever since the expiration of the enabling laws for payday loans, you've seen other types of financial mechanisms pop up in the state as different groups have tried to get creative on how to work around the law. But this is a outward, let's just bring back payday loans. And I think it's still very controversial at the legislature. And we'll continue to monitor that. I know in the past, council's been concerned about the impact of that industry on neighborhoods, and we'll continue to monitor that. And I'll keep you informed as I hear more.
Thank you. Council, other questions? So, Scott, I think you said the residential sales tax bill is dead, even in the revised form that only applied to one or two single-family residences.
Mayor, that's okay. Correct. That it appears, and just in the way that the Arizona legislature works, until they gavel sine die, I would never want to say it's completely dead, because there crazy things have happened on the final days of the session. But even as the proponents of a watered-down version of the bill tried to bring it back, the same group knew that was just an attempt to move the needle a little bit, and the same coalition that voted against the more onerous bill voted against the watered down bill, and so it didn't really gain any additional traction by trying to mitigate the impact on cities and towns.
Okay. The only other question I had to do with the Department of Revenue funding bill that you talked about, raised earlier. Just to refresh our recollection, the TPT tax collection bill that passed a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. I think the cities and towns were all assessed a premium to bolster the Department of Revenue in their transition. And of course, we've honored our end of the bargain by writing checks, but they still haven't been able to get their stuff together in order to do that. Can you give us a status? Is the expectation that the Department of Revenue is going to be able to assume that responsibility that we've been paying them to do for the last few years, and when we might expect that to happen?
Mayor and Council, we're still very hopeful. There have been some bright spots over the last several months in that basically the Department of Revenue has had to replace many people, top-level people that were working on this project because of the slow going that we've seen. The one thing I do say is that we've encouraged them, though. It would be worse for them to try to pull the trigger and go live on the system when it's not ready. So some of the delay has been at our encouragement because the state's upgrading its entire IT platform over the next couple of years. So we wanted to make sure that the new system they put in place would be compatible with the new system. That sounds like a no-brainer, but we've certainly seen more interesting actions by DOR, and we were worried about the compatibility of that system. But we're hopeful now that with some new faces and some new leadership at the Department of Revenue and some new urgency from the governor's office, and they've been really helpful on this. The governor's office realizes what a catastrophe it could have been if DOR, just for the sake of getting it done, went live on the program that could have had, had major disruptions to the financial systems, cities and towns. And so they've been helpful in trying to mediate this with DOR to make sure that we get some positive results. So, Mayor, the answer is yes, but I think the go live date is still to be determined.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep paying them to not do what they're getting paid for, I guess.
That's right. And just Mayor, just to remind you and Council, so we pay $760,000 this year for DOR operations, and that's assessed by population, I believe, for us. And then on top of that, we have a $334,000 payment that we make simply for TPT simplification. And so that's assessed to all self-collecting cities like Mesa, in order to get this new system up and going. So every year it's about $1.1 million that we're paying to DOR to collect our revenue and to get an efficient system up and running.
I guess out of fairness, that they are collecting the state income tax for us.
Correct.
So the my argument, I guess, would really only apply to that $334,000 for the TPT collection that they're not doing.
There was still some belief that the $334,000 charge was to get the new system up and running, and that should go away. There was a lot of discussion that the $760,000 charge should not necessarily be something that continues into perpetuity, that we believe that's the actual role of the Department of Revenue, and so to charge us an additional fee on top of what we already pay into other, state coffers is just, an excessive amount. But that at the time, trying to work with the governor's office, that's something that we agreed to. But you'll continue to hear that, I know, over the coming years, is that still been a point of consternation for a lot of cities and leadership in the league. Mayor Jay Tibbetraney of Chandler, who's going to be the incoming league president, he's not very happy with that assessment and would like to see that assessment go away.
Okay, as would I think a lot of us. Thank you, Council. Any other questions about this legislative update? Thank you, Scott.
Great.
Nice job. Thanks to you, and please let Miranda know. We appreciate her as well. Next item on our agenda is acknowledge receipts of minutes of various boards and committees. There's a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Next item, hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Council members, any reports to be made? I had a great visit to South by Southwest in Austin and posted on social media my trip in a driverless car. There's other interesting things that U.S. Conference of Mayors talked about at that meeting that I'll be sharing with you at future times. Next item on the agenda is scheduling of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we'll have a study session Thursday, March 17th, which will be followed by a Public Safety Committee meeting. And also that day we'll be launching our GRID, which is the Mesa Bike Share Program. So we'll be starting that at 10 a.m. in front of Mesa City Plaza. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. We are adjourned, and we will reconvene upstairs.